Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks this morning, Lord. We give thanks for your mighty word, Father, that we are about to hear today. And we just give thanks, Lord, that you are love, Father. And we ask that you bless this message, bless this time, and that your Holy Spirit joins us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Perfect lead-in song. Today's sermon is going to be much about love today. Amen?
Amen.
And the greatest love, of course, is the love of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Our first verse says that my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is the standard. Jesus loved us so much that He gave His own life that we may live. We are called to love each other, even our enemies, in that same fashion. This is not an easy task. But who's going to love that homeless person on the corner? Who's going to love the prodigal son or daughter that's out there lost in the world? Who's going to love the suffering alcoholic that's too mean to talk to? We are called to a different standard as Christians. We are called to love as the Lord loves, unconditionally. Amen? There was a little girl who had a very large collection of dolls heaped on her bed. A guest in her room one day asked her, "Do you love dolls?" There they are. "Do you love dolls?" Then with tender loving care, she spread out all of her doll collection. Amen? And she spread it out for the guest to admire. And then the guest asked her, "Which doll do you love the most? Which doll do you love the most?" And the little girl hesitated. She said, "Promise not to laugh if I tell you." And he promised. So she picked up a rag doll with a broken nose, whose hair had mostly come out, and one arm and one leg were missing. Okay? Pretty bad looking doll, right? And she said, "This is the one that I love the most." And the visitor asked, "Why? Why do you love that one the most?" And she said, "Because if I didn't love this one, nobody else would."
Aww.
Amen? And, you know, as Christians, we're called to a different standard than most people. In a world of lust and greed and hate and anger, we're called to love one another. And when most are worried about gratification and revenge, we're taught that it's better to give than to receive. Amen? Kingdomize, right? Looking at the world of kingdomize. Amen? Barclay wrote that we are sent out into the world to love one another. Sometimes we live as if we're sent into the world to compete with one another, or to dispute with one another, or even to quarrel with one another. 1 Peter 4:8 says that above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If you're angry, don't forget to love. If you're tired, don't forget to love. If you are hated, don't forget to love. People may say to you, "Why do you follow the commandments of a God you've never seen? Why do you love others so much?" Well, 1 John 4:12 says that no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and God is made complete in us. If we follow God's commands, He will live in us and He will use each and every one of us in a mighty way. Our next verse says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends." In other words, there's no greater love than a sacrificial love such as Jesus has for us. Now, does this mean that He wants us to go around dying for others? No. In a sense, though, but not physically. For most of us, we're asked to sacrifice our time or our liberties or maybe even our lives for those who God loves and those who desperately need our love and desperately need our attention. You know, we just celebrated July 4th, and it is a celebration of independence from England or the motherland. From which some of our founding fathers actually came. And many men died for this Revolutionary War over 245 years ago. They died for the love of our country. They died for their families. And they died for their fellow men. And many wars have been fought since. And many lives have been given in the process. But this country was founded on God's Word, on God's promises, and, you know, one nation under God, right? Indivisible with liberty and justice for all, right? That's why we're the greatest country, amen? And so, let me read that verse again. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I know General George Washington revered these words, I'm sure, as many men did on the battlefields, right? And thanks be to God for their bravery and for their service. And thanks be to God for their faithfulness as well. For many of us, this could equate to, you know, serving your church or serving the community. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be on a battlefield. Amen. We're still serving the kingdom. Amen. So our love brings obedience, and our obedience brings service in many forms. So we start by loving the Lord, then we become obedient, and then we start to serve. Amen. And, you know, God is asking us to love as He does. To love as He does. And that includes service, right? Service for others. Loving others, even our enemies. Amen. The next verse says, "You are my friends, and if you do what I command." You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus said friends, right? He said we're His friends. Not His subjects, not His servants, not even His followers. But He's calling us, and He called the disciples His friends. This is the foundation of relationship over religion. This is what we talk about every week. This is the relationship that we're talking about. He looks at us as His friends. Amen? Some of us are new to this relationship type of faith. Some of us are new to it. True friends are hard to find in today's world. Trust and honor are hard to find as well. But when we love first, the obedience will follow. When we follow His commands, this obedience that we're speaking of brings peace, it brings joy, and it brings love to everyone that we encounter. Charles Spurgeon writes, "It must be active obedience. Notice that ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Some think it's quite sufficient if they avoid what He forbids. Abstinence from evil is a great part of righteousness, but it's not enough for a friendship." We are saved. Yes, we are saved, but not by works, but by faith. And of that faith, the love of Christ is the most important. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." In this world of hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we all struggle with our faith. We sometimes think that we have it all under control by our willpower. We say that we're strong and that we can quit anytime we want. True. A lot of us can quit, but do our behaviors change? Are we still running with the same crowd? Are we still using foul language? Do we have anger issues? Do we call the Lord our friend? Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." A lot of us say, "Lord willing," or "God's will be done," right? We must live in obedience if we want to receive God's will for our lives. If you want that to mean something in your life, we need to live in obedience. Amen? Just like Ezekiel, we must carry out God's plans for our lives, even if we don't understand it. We still must carry out His will for our lives. Next verse, verse 15 says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." So by definition, or a definition of a friend to Jesus is someone who has been fully informed. And who has He fully informed? All of us who read and believe the Word. Amen? All of us who read and believe the Word. And amen. We have all been fully informed. Amen? And that's why we're here today. This is the complete revelation of all we can comprehend for now. Okay? We can only receive so much of the Lord in this form. Amen? And that's what this reveals to us. Amen? He has told us all we need to know for salvation, and that makes us His friends. That's what makes us His friends. We do what He commands, and we are friends. Friends. It's pretty simple. Amen? Remember Robert Bradford saying, he said, "But for the grace of God, go I." This was an expression of humility and reliance on God's grace. The same grace that permits us to call Jesus our friend. I want to talk about grace. And I read this week online about a baseball game that one day took place. Seems that the Lord's team was playing Satan's team. And the Lord's team was at bat. The score was 0-0, and it was in the bottom of the ninth inning. So right at the end of the game, right? With two outs. And the coach and the Lord were stood by observing the game. And as they watched, a batter stepped up to the plate. And his name was Love. Love swung at the first pitch and he hit a single because love never fails. Amen? The next batter was named Faith. He also got a single because faith works with love. Amen? The next batter was named Godly Wisdom. Satan wound up and he threw the first pitch and Godly Wisdom looked at it and he let it go by. Then, that was ball one, okay? Then three more pitches went by and Godly Wisdom walked. Okay? He walked. And why did he walk? Because Godly Wisdom never swings at what Satan throws. Amen? All right? Never swings at what Satan throws, okay? So the bases are loaded, okay? The bases are loaded. Then the Lord turned to coach and he told him he was now going to bring in his star player. His star player. So up to the plate stepped Grace. Let's put Mark Grace up there, right? Figured I'd use Mark Grace in this one. So up to the plate steps Mark Grace. And the coach said, "He sure doesn't look like much." And Satan's whole team relaxed when they saw Grace, thinking they had won the game, right? So Satan winds up and he fires his first pitch. To the shock of everyone, Grace hit the ball harder than anyone had ever seen. But Satan was not worried, as his center fielder let very few get by. He went up for the ball, but it went right through his glove and it hit him in the head and he went crashing to the ground. Amen? The guy that catches the ball every time, right? Then it continued over the fence for a home run and the Lord's team won. Amen? The Lord then asked the coach if he knew why Love, Faith, and Godly Wisdom could get on base, but they could not win the game. And the coach answered that he didn't know why. And the Lord explained, he said, "If your love, faith, and wisdom had won the game, you would have done it all by yourself." You know? And so love, faith, and wisdom will get you on base, but only God's grace can get you home. Amen? Amen? Love that story. So I thank God every day that God's grace is on my team and in my life and in my home and in my heart, in my church, in our church, and in our thoughts. Amen? And I pray that God's grace is in yours as well. God's grace has made us His friend, and for that, we should be forever grateful. Amen? Attitude of gratitude, right? Attitude of gratitude. Verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Now notice that it says the Lord chose us. The Lord chose us. We did not choose Him. Maybe this is to remind us to not get too prideful. Amen? It's not about what we do, but it's about what He's done. And now because we are chosen, we should live in obedience. Bearing fruit, we should live like Christ, or try to live like Christ. Amen? And that's why He chose us, because He has plans for us to prosper. Amen? He's got plans for us. And plans for us to prosper, bear fruit, and these plans are going to last through eternity. Amen? These plans are going to last through eternity. Now, if we are living like Christ, we should be truly serving and praying in His name, right? We should be praying in Christ's name. And once again, like in verse 7, it says, whatever we ask for in His name will be given to us, right? Whatever we ask for in His name will be given to us. There was an article in Sermon Central that said, this statement, whatever we ask for in His name will be given to us, is many times used as a standalone statement, okay, without regards to the actual meaning. When the context has to be considered and an understanding of who God is and His teachings are the most important. So they take it out of context. And this statement can lead many people astray. Amen? A famous Bible scholar named John Gill put it this way. He said, for whatever is asked in faith, agreeable to the will of God, which is contained in His covenant, in His word, and promises, and makes for His glory and the good of His people, shall be given. But, be it what it will, though to carnal sense and reason it may seem impractical and impossible. In other words, if God agrees with your prayer of faith, and it agrees with God's teaching in the Bible, then it's going to happen. That's what that verse means. Then it's going to happen. When we have faith, no matter how in this world it seems impossible, if it's prayed in God's will, it will happen. I'll say we. Me and my wife went and conducted a wedding yesterday in Prescott. So I was the officiant of the wedding yesterday in Prescott, and it was my first real big wedding. Okay, so we got like 200 people out there, and we're on a farm out in Prescott, really nice. Well, anyways, on the way out there, we're thinking, I was reading the weather reports, and it was going to be 20 degrees cooler in Prescott, right? And no rain, okay? No rain on the forecast, nothing. So we're thinking it's going to be beautiful. We're driving up there. We get into Prescott. We get to our hotel room, and everything's nice. The weather's nice. And so we get checked in, and we got to go to a rehearsal dinner downtown. And as soon as we get to the car, the rain starts coming down. And this wedding, mind you, is going to be outside on a farm, okay? So the rain's coming down, and it gets so bad it starts to hail. And I actually have to pull over. The hail got so bad. So we sit and we wait it out for about 10 or 15 minutes. And we get back on the road, and it's still pouring down. You know, and the farm is still about another 15 miles away. So we're praying that, it's just like a microburst in this certain area. It's not raining on the farm, right? We're praying. And so we finally get there, and everyone's huddled inside the garage. And it hit there, too. And it had already stopped, but, I mean, everything was soaked, and it was just, it was pretty bad. So we talked and we said our hellos and we got together and then the bride said, can we pray? So we all got in a circle, the wedding party and me and my wife and my mother, and we started praying. And we prayed that, that the Lord would take the rain away and give us a beautiful day tomorrow, right? And we joked about how, the Lord was just getting all the rain out so that tomorrow would be beautiful, right? And so we prayed about it, and I remember the bride saying, the Lord already spoke to me, and He already said it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, And as it turned out, it was a bright, sunny day, and there was no rain, not one drop, And the weather was beautiful, and the wedding was beautiful, and, but we prayed in God's will. That's my point. This was God's will. This wedding was, It was the most Christian wedding I'd ever been to. You know, there was probably 100 people from Celebrate Recovery there, because they're big into that ministry. And everything was about Christ. Everyone that spoke of Christ in their lives and in the marriage. And it was just amazing. I met some pastors that lead churches with Celebrate Recoveries in Cottonwood, in Prescott. And it was an amazing day, and it was a beautiful day. And, you know, the Lord answered our prayers because we were praying in God's will. Amen. And that's my point. You know, when we pray in God's will, whatever we ask for in His name, the Father will give us. Amen. And so now, how many times has this been preached on and taken out of context? You know, we talk about health and wealth gospel, right? Everything's going to be okay. The Lord will give you what you pray for, you know. But do you always get what you pray for? No, I don't either, right? You don't always get what you pray for. Thank God, right? Thank God. But do we ask in confidence? Do we ask in confidence? Do we ask in enthusiasm? We do, right? A lot of times we do, right? But the Bible also lists some conditions for prayer, okay? The Bible does list some conditions for prayer. And it says, whatever you ask in my name. So in Jesus' name means in His character or in His love. Okay, that's what it means when we say we're praying in Jesus' name, okay? So, are we praying in that when we pray? Are we praying in His name? Are we praying in His love? Not just saying His name, but truly praying in His name. Amen? Anybody can say, oh, I pray this in Jesus' name. But do you mean it? Are you really praying in His will? Remember James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive. What happened? You do receive, right? It says, when you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with the wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's what the verse says. To me, this could equate to, I always think about this, praying to win a bet or praying to win the lottery. Right? We're praying, you know, Lord, please let me win the lottery. You know, that's not in God's will. Amen? And a lot of people will say, well, I'll give 10% to the church. Lord, please let me win the lottery. Right? So, this is certainly not praying in Jesus' name or character. But also, James 5:15-16 says, we must pray in true faith and righteousness. True faith and righteousness without doubting. So how dangerous would it be, like Pastor Robin said, for God to answer all of our selfish and materialistic prayers? How dangerous would that be, right? To get everything we want? If God did that, people would become Christians for all the wrong reasons. They would become Christians to get what they want, right? So, should we become a Christian for what we can get out of it? Or do we become Christians because He first died in our place? And because He loves us, amen? That's why we become Christians. And I believe, I think peace is a lot better than anything else we can pray for, amen? Peace in our lives, amen? Lastly, we may not be ready for the things we pray for. We may not be ready for what we want, you know? A lot of us probably aren't ready to win the lottery, you know? It's like, you know, you hear the stories of so many people getting so much trouble and actually going into more debt than they had before they started in a short period of time. So the question should really be, are we really asking in His name? When we pray, are we praying in the Lord's name? Amen? Verse 17 says, this is my command to love each other. This is my command to love each other. Now remember, He's not telling us to love each other by our own will. He's telling us to love each other by His will. Amen? By His will. We are the branches and He is the vine. And when Jesus says, apart from Him, we can do nothing, this includes loving others to Christ. Okay? Apart from Christ, we can't do that. We need that relationship so that He can work through us and speak through us to love others. Amen? In order for us to bear fruit in our lives, we must remain in a relationship with our Lord and Savior. And we must remain in the vine, right? How are we going to bear fruit if we don't remain in the vine? Amen? Amen. Matthew Henry writes, "As the Father loved Christ, who was most worthy, so He loved His disciples, who were unworthy. The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment, but the joy of those who abide in Christ's love is a continual feast." It's an eternal feast. Christ's love for us should direct us to love each other unconditionally and eternally. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks, Lord. We give thanks for Your love that just permeates us every day, Father. May You use us, Lord, in a mighty way. Speak through us, Lord. May we thank You, Lord, for Your grace, for Your unconditional love. And we praise You, Father. We praise You, and we love You, and we thank You that You call us Your friends. May You use us in a mighty way in everything we do, and may everything we do bring glory to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.